Happy Friday.
Good morning, everybody.
It's like, you know, it's kind of good that it's dark outside because, like, we've had a drought. I just read in the paper or online, the online version of the paper. Apparently, up in Northwest Minnesota, someone's farm just kind of just dropped 25 feet.
Yeah.
Like a big chunk of land because of the.
Yeah. Oh, it's so dry up there. Yep.
But now we're getting some flash floods.
Now we're getting some rain. It's nice. Morning, CK.
It's hard to light up my face when everything's dark like this. But, so I'm sorry if I like
washed out everything. You're doing a good job.
Thanks.
So, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that, you know, since I've gotten the COVID vaccine and I'm magnetic now, that the robot birds have an easier time finding me. So I've noticed fewer of them in my yard. They don't need as many to keep track of me.
I have seen less too, and I thought it was because I was magnetic, but like negative. So I was repelling because, you know, magnets, there's two sides.
Yeah, I know. I think it's easier for them to keep track of us now.
Okay.
So they can deploy their resources elsewhere.
I saw a great meme about, like, it's like our plan has been brilliant. We decided to put microchips in horse deworming. Yes. He was saying, like, people taking horse deworming medicine instead of the vaccine because that's somehow safer.
It's safer to be killed by horse deworming medicine than by taking the vaccine. Makes total sense.
If you think about it.
Or if you don't think about it. Like if you say it really quickly. And yeah. All right.
Just a segue to Empire. CK will care about this. This isn't from the store, but I made a pumpkin spice latte for myself this morning. You can tell it's homemade because there's all the particulates of spice that are usually made into a syrup at the chains.
So this is, I texted Ash the other day. This is like Christmas carols before Thanksgiving. I'm now seeing shit for pumpkin spice before it's even fall. It's like, that is beyond messed up.
I want to start a petition to get these coffee, like Starbucks and Caribou, just to have it 365.
Well, and you know what's really bad is that the week that it's happening is the week where my anti-pumpkin spice ally, Kathleen, is on vacation. So she can't even come to my rescue and help me.
We are winning.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So good, though.
Pumpkin spice, shoe polish.
I mean, it does tie in. Like, here's how it ties to Empire. Colonization and spice, you know? Boom.
It's true. It's all about the spice.
The spice must
flow. Doom movie coming out this fall.
With the sandworms.
Woohoo. All right. We need to somehow get on track.
Yeah, we're talking about... I mean, even the Dune movie is about colonization and empire.
Yes.
And I mean, some foreign powers come and take over a desert planet that has a lot of spice, which is the most important nutrient-like thing in the universe. I mean, why else would we be involved in anywhere in the Middle East or Middle East adjacent? Which to me is, like, Afghanistan is like, is that the Middle East or is it East at that point? Where's the line?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Afghanistan is just its own location.
Oh, Pakistan, the Middle East.
No, somehow Pakistan is South Asia.
South Asia. To be Afghanistan would be South Asia.
I don't know.
Sort
of in between.
Need geographers.
But here's one of the things that all of this requires, whether it's Afghanistan, what's happened in Central America. You know, we talked on Monday about how we're probably revving up to do this stuff in Africa, which obviously is a repeat of what's happened there. I mean, an enormous part of this that I think we just have to keep in mind is that it's about othering and it's about then control.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that these people in all these places are not really people. You know, they're not as intelligent. They live in the Middle Ages. They, you know, don't have great civilization like we do. They, you know, there's this, that, and the other problem with them that, of course, we have to fix. And then it's reasonable for us to control them. And this need for control and this incredible compulsion for control, you just see not only throughout the entire foreign policy imperial issue, but, you know, this is what's behind this whole police thing that's been going on and continues to go on, right? Is that this need to have an agency that can control is so deeply embedded within our culture. And, you know, and then this is what ultimately leads to fascism, right? Fascism becomes the uber controller when people feel more and more anxious and like things are going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. It's I've been getting into my next, like last couple of days I was sick, so, and I didn't want to work, so I just decided to go engage Nextdoor app.
When Ash goes on Nextdoor,
it's
bad.
But yesterday in the mail, we got a thing from the mayor and chief Arredondo saying vote no on this referendum, like scary right. kind of thing. And then also that day, someone on Nextdoor posted a slow motion doorbell video of someone walking and stealing their vote for Jacob Frey kind of sign. And then they called the, so like, look at this person. You know, they even look like a stereotypical liberal because they're wearing green socks. Like, that's cool. Because you look kind of like, well, vaguely fashionable in a modern sense. Like, that's it.
Okay.
And then they called the police on this person for stealing their free yard sign. And all the people are like, yeah, we need to stop these, you know, meh. I'm like, this is such a perfect example of like, okay, if I saw someone visually stealing my, even my Black Lives Matter sign, which is more important than a vote for Jacob Frey sign, I'd be like, I'll have to get another one now. Like, nowhere in my mind would it be to like execute vigilante style justice on them or the police. But this is like, and this might seem silly, but like, this is where fascism lives. That somehow the idea of calling in armed people to and like enforce some sort of like control right. over someone for a minor, like very minor violation, because you've decided that they're a garbage person.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of where, and so, and they're voting for Jacob Frey. So they're a Democrat. Like, this isn't like, he's not the right wing candidate.
All right, we got some good comments and some fun comments. Let's roll through them.
Good morning, you anti-fascist. Yes, thank
good
you.
Morning, CK.
Some other good mornings from James
and Alan.
Awesome. Gus says, well, you also got that 5G signal going out.
Yeah, that helps the robot birds.
Well, and that's how they keep, you know, once you're magnetized once, magnets kind of lose their magnetism. So 5G keeps us magnetized. Oh, that's how it all works. Okay. I haven't seen enough of that, but it makes common sense.
It's common sense.
Pumpkin spice.
Victoria, I used to like you.
But... You know what, though? We all have to have our token spice friend.
That's right.
Call me Posh Spice. CK, it has begun. Yes. He who controls the spice controls the empire. I can't wait for this new spice film to come out, just so I can rewatch the earlier David Lynch Dune.
That'll be fun.
James writes, Biden saying the military answers the call, yeah, with here I am, send me, is the perfect quote for Fascist Friday. So that's the thing. So he quotes this, you know, this for the calling of the prophet Isaiah, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? Here am I, send me. Like, this calling of a prophet is used for, like, to say that the military has been answering the call. Who shall go for us? Who shall I send? It's like, nothing says prophetic witness like American imperialism around the world.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, this, you know, and of course, all these people getting killed, absolutely horrible. You know, of course, far more Afghanis were killed than Americans, but, you know, we pretend as if they kind of don't exist.
They were going to die in somehow.
Yeah, all of these people being killed is horrendous. But the way immediately this now vaults us into the new war on terror. Like, yes. Immediately Biden is like, okay, great. Now we got the new war on terror. You know, ISIS-K, or, you know, what is it? Like, they now take a lot of ketamine or something? I don't know. So
the land of area of terrorism.
And so it's just, you know, and because, as we mentioned on Monday, all these corporations have reaped trillions of dollars from this war. War's winding down. Well, they need to sell more weapons, right? So off we go. Now we've already got the new war ready to ramp up. Exact same rhetoric. Nothing changes. You know, here we go again. So
I'm already seeing the the people who are who hate Bush defending why Biden has to do all this because his hands are tied and he inherited a mess. That kind of logic. It's just this is how fascists win. Ellen writes, next door has been wild lately. Around here, next door people often complain and say that they call the cops because someone looks through the recycling. Yeah, I see all sorts of pictures of someone standing in the alley kind of looking around. And so then they post a picture on next door saying, this person in a hoodie has been scoping out places to steal. So be on the lookout and call the cops. I'm like, that's an alley is kind of like a street.
Oh my God.
Even if they're scoping out, that's. You can't premeditate. You can't like call the cops because you think something might happen from some random person. That's not. Anyways. No. Good point. Don writes, geography is based on Europe as the center.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, not only Europe is this, I mean, Europe as the center, then literally relative to all these other places, but of course the maps that we use, you know, and the standard map of the world that you see in American classrooms and all around, that literally has, England, Greenwich as the center of the map, the center of the world, and then everything radiates out from there. Also has Europe looking way, way bigger than it actually is proportionally. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Europe the Middle East relative to the native peoples in North America? Or this is one of these things in terms of our formation that is just so naturally everywhere. We're hearing it all the time on all the various news sources, books, educational materials, that just gets in our head and mm-hmm. we never even consider it.
Carol writes, this morning I read a bunch of sources on Consortium News. Afghanistan is the seventh poorest country in the world. Islamic socialist do not want just a few to reap. Caught up with trying to get money, help, financial help for their rich mineral deposits from China, Iraq, the Soviets. Greedy U.S. I don't know what MIC means. In their faces for decades. Well, I mean, this is a thing. There's a lot. There's a reason. there's financial, economic, and military reasons to be in Afghanistan that have nothing to do with altruism. So, yeah. Which we talked about on Monday. But yeah, and this is what happens with Africa. So as we get into Africa, this is always the trope. I heard this all the time growing up. I still hear it if I pop my head into certain spaces, that somehow Africa is somehow intrinsically messed up. Yes. That has nothing to do with, they've had plenty of time since colonization ended when I was a baby, like ended in the sense of a legal sense, maybe, right? But still continues on, that they haven't got their act together. And so, like, Western powers come in and it's helpful. Development work, like, right. If you start saying that people do it, engage in development work or somehow part of an imperial system, they'll act like you're cuckoo for suggesting that their NGOs are part of a problem in colonization. Meanwhile, these countries are poor, even though they're incredibly resource rich. And the stuff gets extracted. Where does the money go? Like, so if you try to explain to someone who is entirely, you know, US centric in their political imagination, that capitalism is depleting resources and exploiting people in Africa, and that somehow the problem isn't that these Africans are dumb and they keep voting for bad people. Like, that is such a hurdle for people to get past that. Because the only way you understand it is having a real analysis of colonization and capitalism. And if you do that, then our entire sense of self as US Americans is jeopardized.
Well, and then when you add in the religious piece, right? You have a huge number of Christians, so-called Christians, that actually believe that all these, you know, poor people in Africa are going to hell, and they also believe that they're poor because God is not blessing them because they haven't heard the gospel. And so you've got all these, this massive religious industrial complex of all these people going over to Africa, you know, to save all these people, and then they're going to be better off materially once they're saved, right? And all of this is part of this incredible legacy of conquest. And you know, people know nothing about the history of all the numerous African kingdoms. And you know, I mean, going back hundreds of thousands of years, literally, including Christian kingdoms, right? I mean, people think that Africa didn't become Christian. I mean, I was just a friend of mine wrote
until,
a great thing.
Until YWAM started sending people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Until YWAM came over there, right? And, you know nothing about these incredibly complex and diverse cultures and kingdoms, and it's sort of ignorance layered on top of ignorance.
Well, and then just adding to to tie this into fascism, and you know, been listening to history podcasts, and part of like why the Spanish fascism came about was these military exploits in Africa that failed, and this need to just blame somebody, right? So we see this happening. We're seeing this set up for this now. Like, it would be easy for someone to fall into this foolish thinking that somehow Trump ascending to power was our fascist moment and we've moved past it. But we really haven't gotten we haven't really gotten to the, oh my God. It's obvious to a lot of us that the United States is a declining empire, but it hasn't really gotten to that full part of like post-World War I Germany or pre-Spanish Civil War Spain or these other countries like France has its version. Like, we have to, once we kind of realize how shitty things are and there's this need to flex in order to show American might in a way that, is full fascism. I mean, that's coming. Like, you can see that happening, and this Afghani situation is kind of like, could very well be the first step towards like full on fascism, because we have to blame somebody for the fact that we're not a glorious empire anymore. That's where fascism comes from. And I mean, we're just repeating ourselves, because I think we say that almost every Friday. Gene writes, political bashing is anti-American. Extreme weather disasters affect all countries, rich and poor, but as we face a future with enhanced risks, it is critical to face the reality of those who bear the burden of our changing climate. This is an issue of justice. Those living in poverty are the hardest hit by climate change, despite being the least responsible for the crisis. Climate change is forcing people from their homes, bringing poverty on top of poverty and increasing hunger. People in, and it drops off. And just a reminder, anything over kind of this length will get cut off by our system, so we can't read the end of it. And I mean, that's another piece of this, like climate change and the refugee crisis that'll come from that.
Yeah.
It's all factoring into all these things that we're talking about.
Yeah. I just read a long article about the issue of water in the entire Tigris and Euphrates ecosystem, and how basically water is disappearing from that part of the world at an incredible rate. So all throughout Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and this is a major, major crisis in the making. And we think that trying to get 20,000-30,000 Afghanis to America is some sort of, horrendous refugee crisis. that's going to be nothing compared to, what happens when 25 million Iranians, have to move somewhere or do something different. And so this is where this constant othering, at some point clearly becomes untenable. And you can either have a response of justice and love and compassion, or you can have a fascist response. And the problem, the thing that's stacked against you is that the people in power, what they're constantly thinking about is, how can I make more money off of this, right? And so, just in the same way that we talked about that in terms of agriculture, that drugs are one of the main things that make money, war is also one of the main things that makes money in a capitalist economy. And so there's often a push to that, so that those in power, whether it's extracting resources and or providing the cover for those who are extracting resources, can make more cash. We've got a bunch of comments here.
Both James and Claire point out that MIC stands for Military Industrial.
Ah, yes.
It makes sense. Thanks. CK writes, I love how Biden uses his son's death as the liberal blood sacrifice. There is.
Yeah, that's incredibly painful.
Yeah, but I don't want to go down that road, but yes. Gus writes, my hands are tied. I literally was forced to hit my sibling is the kind of bull I hear from my kids. And people recognize it as nonsense when it comes from kids. Yeah. Stefan writes, as the Crash Course Eurocentrism song says, we're Europe, the prime meridian runs through us. We're in the middle of every map, and we've got to be a continent, even though we're not a continent. Map with large letters, contiguous Eurasian landmass. Search it on YouTube. It's a cute 10-second song.
Okay, great. it's pretty hilarious.
Gus writes, and YWAM worked with the CIA in some of those countries.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I've mentioned a little bit of that in my book on Kingdom, and it's so funny. Like, it's documentable. I mean, Western missionaries have been working with, Western countries the whole time. And it doesn't even have to be, like, sneaky and intentional. It's just like, well, I'm an American, so I'm going to pass information on to my country because we're good guys. Like, doesn't even have to be intentional and willful espionage going on in some of these cases. Jim writes, greetings, and I miss
thank you.
Yeah. Or hey, Tucker Jim. University.
Tucker University.
James writes, Eden drying up should be important for the Back to the Genesis crowd.
Yeah, yeah, there is some irony there, right?
Yeah. Jim writes, the U.S. is a sad story of so much potential, so many resources to improve humanity, squandered. In your opinions, can we become what we think we are or were?
Yeah. I would say that it's not were, and I think the only way to become the kind of thing that I think you're imagining is that we have to repent of the evil that has been done to create the United States. You know, and
this is where the critical race theory and is playing such a
and I hear. I've heard so many times from white liberal folks in the last little while, well, you know, there's no sense of public good anymore. We used to have this sense of public good. I'm like, well, we used to have a sense of public good for white people. We certainly didn't have a sense of public good for black people or for brown people or for Asian people or for Native American people. And I think that we need to get rid of this delusionary state that we white folks get into, that, you know, the U.S. somehow used to be nice and great, and, you know, now we're going to hell in the handbasket. No, this current state that we're up against is simply a reboot of this evil spirit that has always been present. Right. And again, you know, we've mentioned the Native folks talk about this Wendigo spirit, you know, that white people showed up and just like wanted to consume everything and kill everyone. And, you know, we have to be willing to address that.
Now, just to kind of get a little bit systemic a little bit here, I think there's this bad habit that we have to break. And this is a plug for anytime Dan and I do stuff on spirituality, I feel like we kind of try to talk about this. We have this idea that somehow we have these values, that if you put the good values in there, like democracy and hope and camaraderie, and then you kind of shape people individually to act out those good values, then the sum totality will percolate out and will be good people doing good things in the world. When really it's memory. Like the things that we remember about ourselves to be true, habits and myths, and these things are more determinative than some sort of vague sense of values. Cause everyone shares like these sorts of like love, camaraderie, peace, justice. Like Hitler cared about those things too in some abstract way. Right. Mm-hmm. So until we can actually tell the truth about ourselves and change our systems and tell different stories about things, we're screwed. This is where liberals always fall into this. There's still this individualistic mentality that it's about individual morality and having good intentions somehow scales up. And that's just not true.
Yeah. I mean, a black pastor friend of mine wrote about this the other day. You know, you could tell just how frustrated he was. And he talked about the fact that, you know, all of this anti-racism education is basically just a great cover for white liberals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they read these books and they go to these classes and they do these studies. Mm-hmm. And then when push comes to shove to actually change institutions or change economics or change behavior, they all balk. And, you know, and that's this thing that you're talking about is that, all these individuals think they're changing their minds or, you know, getting their act together or whatever. But then when it comes to a systemic thing, like where do taxes go or let's increase taxes on wealthy people and send them to, you know, historically economically deprived neighborhoods, or let's talk seriously about reparations. Suddenly this emotional reaction emerges from these people. They're like, no, you know, rah, right. Mm-hmm. And that's that formation. And, you know, or they're on next door going, oh my God, this person's stealing my sign. You know, I'm going to get them. I lasted 5 minutes on next door.
No, it's kind of like humorous detachment otherwise. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Carol writes, less than 10% of Afghans' GDP is from drugs.
It's true.
Daniel writes, wait, the fact that YWAM is wild, yet it does not surprise me. And it's not just YWAM, but YWAM is worth talking about because I think it still is the world's largest missionary agency. So it's big and it's everywhere. And then there's some really fucked up people in upper leadership and Dominionist theology and stuff. So it's just really gross. Yeah. Just gross. Although I will say, I know some people, individuals within YWAM who are not gross. So any big organization is going to have some interesting, good people in there. Gus writes, America has always been awful. If you want an amazing picture of this, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's book, Indigenous Peoples History of the United States, season 4 of Seen on the Radio is another that does a great job showing this. And there was that HBO miniseries, like Exterminate the Brutes.
Exterminate the Brutes.
Yeah, and Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz is referenced in that. I think she had part of her way of engaging history is the approach of that miniseries. So I think that's also a good thing for people to check out. Good in the sense that it's meaningful and important, not good in the sense that it's fun and enjoyable to watch. Unfortunately, telling history is painful. Jim writes, I hope this is helpful. Recent experience participating with family and extended family in the Van Gogh experience and then eating at a new Van Gogh. There's always schools of thought on how to pronounce his name. Experience and then eating at a new venue in the U district was a reminder that we are a diverse multicultural country and more reflective of a major change in demographics. It was so good to be immersed in a large setting featuring foods and beverages from cultures literally all around the world and with mostly young people who are the growing tapestry of America. And then it cuts off there again. Yeah. And there's some hope there, but it's also we have to get to the question of power and who has power in the society and like, and how much are we going to let the weight of our past determine our future instead of like making a radical break in new directions? It's like a big, messy thing. We have to have.
Yeah. Hope. And, you know, and this is something that all spiritual traditions talk about, right? So when Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you or the kingdom of God just passed by, you know, did you see it? Or, you know, the Zen tradition says, well, you're already enlightened, you know, or, you know, the mystical Sufi tradition talks about, you know, that the best part of yourself is already within yourself. There really is a very short journey kind of from here to there. I mean, that's one of the tragic paradoxes of all of this is that, you know, we don't have to, you know, go to some other planet or solar system or whatever to find the kingdom of heaven. It really is possible for it to be right here. But what it does require is that, you know, and this is why one of the great images in the spiritual tradition is crossing the river. Right. And Ceres actually wrote a great little poem and story about this, you know, that you just have to go to the other side. But that journey is sometimes really, really hard. And you have to be willing to let go of a lot of things. But the possibility is all around us. And it is very important to keep that in mind.
I guess this will be the last comment. James writes, the history of Christian mission and its being tangled up in colonialism is a big tragedy. Most missionaries weren't nefarious in their partnership, but they poisoned the well. I mean, this is the thing. Intentions aren't as determinative as people like to think.
Yeah.
you bring with you. The uprooted uproot wherever they go.
So, all right. Well, great to be with you all. And thank you for all your comments. As always, good to see folks. And we will be back on Monday.
See you next
with
week.
Some new topic.
Later. Thank you.